The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. This is the 4 o'clock hour. Did you realize that 21 million Americans have at least one addiction? But only 10% of them receive treatment? Did you realize that from 1999 to 2017, 700,000 Americans have overdosed on drugs? 400,000 of them from opioid overdoses. And it gets worse. To help us understand the problem and the ultimate answer, it's my privilege to welcome to the program Pastor Ron Smedley. Ron has spent over 30 years in ministry. He's also worked as a parole officer for the state of Texas, a caseworker for Child Protective Services, and he is one of the driving forces behind Recovery Sunday. Pastor Ron Smedley, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Bob, and greetings, Buckeyes, from an old Texas Longhorn here.
Yeah, we'll allow a few Longhorns on here. As long as you're not from the state up north, we can get along.
I hear you. Amen to that. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about Recovery Sunday, Bob.
Well, we're not hearing much about it, and that's why I'm delighted that you have the opportunity to come on. Where did Recovery Sunday begin, and what's it all about?
Just mentioned my bio. I'm actually almost going on 40 years ministry now. I always say I started in kindergarten. But also have been working in addiction for 22 years. And so because I have a balanced approach, they wanted me to start this day where we set aside a day for Christ-centered recovery, primarily for individuals with all forms of addiction, Bob. And what people don't think about, it's also for their affected family members, because we believe that addiction is probably the most relevant issue in our country. It's of epic proportions, and it's even worse now because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You mentioned an important stat. 180 souls are dying every day due to overdose, whether it's intentional or accidental. But, Bob, the pandemic has caused a 49% increase in the loss of life due to the stress and pain of this pandemic.
Well, I have been saying since this began here in Ohio, and I think it's true around the rest of the country as well, that the cure for this whole pandemic thing is worse than the disease. As you stated, statistically, the number of suicides, drug overdoses, have skyrocketed since the beginning of the pandemic. And while government authorities, I think, good-heartedly have been trying to protect us, in many cases it's had exactly the opposite result. Would you concur with that?
Absolutely, and let me add another thing to think about, Bob. We've been talking about social isolation. 22 years of dealing with people in recovery, that's the worst thing that can happen to people in recovery. As a matter of fact, I let everyone within my sphere of influence, I tell them not to say that term. We're temporary physical distancing because we need community. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that churches can combat this is by providing community, whether it's live or online, just to let people know we hear your cry and we care and we want to pray for you and bring the presence of peace and Jesus into your anxiety and your fear.
Well, tell us about Recovery Sunday. It's actually this coming Sunday, September 27th.
Yes, sir. It's we've been doing it for 3 years, and we know we're late in the game, but what we'd like for you guys to do is to go to recoverysunday.com, recoverysunday.com. If you don't want to do it this Sunday, if you're already, it's already planned, think about doing it some other Sunday. And we have resources there for pastors that if pastors want to take it further, because usually when we address this issue, because hurting people are looking for a place, and we want Sunday to just be a day to be encouraged and to be prayed for. But if you want to take it further, we have a free 52-week curriculum, a plug-and-play curriculum with videos and downloadable workbooks that they say 30-35% of every church in America has people struggling with this mm-hmm. issue, and pastors can take it from there with this program that we're offering on our website. And me being a pastor, I know how busy we get, and we are not always equipped to deal with it, so we want to offer that resource to you.
All right. So I think this is what's important, because most churches listening to you and I today on Friday are not going to say, oh, my goodness, we got to have Recovery Sunday this coming Sunday. They can go to your website, recoverysunday.com, and plan one for January or March or April or whenever they feel led of God to have a Recovery Sunday at their particular local congregation.
Absolutely, Bob. Thank you for saying that, and thank you for what you said earlier about a lot of churches and pastors are familiar with this issue. As a matter of fact, it says 66% of the people in every congregation know someone affected. Mm-hmm. But here's the staggering stat. You mentioned the 10% can't get treatment. My experience is 80% of people come to pastors and churches first. And as a parole officer, the 80% are the people that need help and can't get it. Mm-hmm. And churches and pastors can make a real difference to provide, because church should be a community, a supportive community about this issue in and of itself. And we have all kinds of suggestions. We have scriptures, songs, sermon themes that you can do to really make an impact on Recovery Sunday, no matter when you do it. And we want to come alongside you with some suggestions to help you do it. And if you do it, and if you say we hear you, the results have been overwhelming. People that come out of the woodwork because they're looking for help and hope.
Well, Ron, I've been in ministry at least 10 years longer than you have. And I have found that any Bible-believing pastor that I know of is deeply concerned about people with addictions and so forth, but they do not feel that they are equipped to handle it in their church. They just don't know what to do. Is that where you come in, and recoverysunday.com?
Yes, sir. And with Recovery Sunday is a once a year, every last Sunday in September, we do that.
Okay.
But Mission Recovery is our vision, Bob, is to come along beside pastors to help them engage mm-hmm. and equip them in this. So we have a toolkit that we give to pastors. And again, another thing people don't understand, Bob, about recovery is for every person in recovery, there are five people impacted negatively, whether that's a spouse or a parent or a child. And there's another demographic there that need help. And so we have tools and resources, recoverysunday.com, to help pastors, specifically what he can do, from creating a culture to dealing with stigma. And like I said, there is just great power. You know, the Bible says that there is power in prayer. The fervent mm-hmm. prayer of a righteous man avails much.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, the website, recoverysunday.com. And I want to emphasize again, there are resources there other than just for this coming Sunday. Maybe you want to prepare for next year, the last Sunday in September, but there are resources for local churches to help people who are struggling from addiction. So ignorance is no longer an excuse. There are resources available. Ron, we've got about 1 minute left. What else would you like for our listeners to know about your outreach?
Basically, what I'd like people to know is this is a pervasive problem that's more than just the crackhead laying in the ghetto. 30% of the people in most churches are struggling with something. And what I want the listeners to understand, and what I want, if you're out there, a family or an addicted loved one, most everybody is trying to self-medicate. And when you use substances, you get hooked and addicted, and then you need to be set free. Mm-hmm. So let's end it with some good news. Jesus said that I came to preach good news to those who are helpless, and to bind up the hurt of what you're trying to avoid or medicate. Mm. And he came to set people free. And that's what the churches can give people that the government can't, is the transforming power of Jesus Christ and then intensive discipleship and support. So please join us. If you're listening, recoverysunday.com. Sign up, tell your pastor. We'd love for you to partner with us in healing our land.
Pastor Ron Smedley, recoverysunday.com. Let me just say a hearty, hearty amen and amen. God bless you, Ron, for what you and those involved in Recovery Sunday are doing. Thank you for spending time with us today. I appreciate it so much, and I hope that all of our listeners will become familiar with recoverysunday.com. God bless you, Ron Smedley.
Thank you, Bob. God bless you.
Our pleasure to have you on today. All right, quick break. We'll be back with more Bob Burney Live.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, the protests and riots continued in Louisville last night. Fortunately, I have not read of any injuries. The night before, two police officers were shot. But I continue to be amazed at the willful ignorance. And I mean willful. The absolute willful ignorance of individuals. In many cases, it's willful ignorance. And in other cases, I think it is blatant denial. If you look at the Breonna Taylor situation in Louisville, it's tragic. Breonna Taylor was innocent. She got caught in crossfire between police and her boyfriend, who was a suspected drug dealer. Now, some would say, well, they haven't pressed any charges about drug dealing against him, and they won't. I can promise you, they won't. Even if he's guilty, and I have no idea whether he is or not, I'm not assuming that he is. But even if they had absolute proof that he was a drug dealer, they're not going to press charges. Can you imagine what a public relations nightmare that would be? What it would be perceived as by many in the general public? So they're not going to press any charges against him. They're not. But he was a suspected drug dealer, and I've read enough to know that the police had good reason to suspect drug dealing out of that apartment. They had suspicion, and good, solid suspicion. And it's sad that Breonna Taylor got caught up in gunfire between her boyfriend and police when her boyfriend started it. He fired the first shot. Now, if you listen to the news media, they will tell you that the police didn't introduce themselves. They just burst through the door without... No. There are sworn witnesses that have testified that the police announced themselves, banged on the door lightly, and told the people inside they were police and they had a search warrant. But if you're just intent on dividing, causing division, if you are intent on political and ideological purposes more than truth, if you are a leftist where emotion and hysteria is far more important than truth, then you don't care about truth. So the protests and the violence continued last night. Get this. First, Now, there's a curfew at 9 o'clock. The mayor of Louisville, who is not exactly conservative himself, if you know anything about the government of Louisville, he imposed a 9 p.m. curfew. First Unitarian Church in Louisville has opened their doors to black protesters and rioters as the curfew comes into effect so they can literally violate the curfew, but they have made it clear white people are not welcome. Yeah, that's First Unitarian Church. And then we've got a bunch of so-called progressive church leaders like the Reverend William Barber II, co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign and pastor of Greenleaf Christian Church in Goldsboro, North Carolina, who called the grand jury decision a blankety-blank decision. He said, quote, "Police used a battering ram and broke the door off its hinges as they entered Breonna Taylor's apartment, shooting her at least five times." Did you notice? Oh, and by the way, he is the president of the North Carolina State Conference of the NAACP. Did you notice he left out just a teeny-weeny little bit of information that Breonna Taylor's boyfriend opened fire first? Wow, what difference does that make? Listen again. This is his direct quote. "Police used a battering ram and broke the door off its hinges as they entered Breonna Taylor's apartment, shooting her at least five times." Absolutely nothing about her boyfriend having a gun, firing first, nothing. He went on, "Anything less than indictments for the full extent of the officer's actions cannot stand." Inflammatory, irresponsible statements from a pastor. Four leaders of the Presbyterian Church USA went on record yesterday and saying, "Our heart breaks for the news. The grand jury findings only make us feel that our cries have fallen on deaf ears. This is a travesty. People of color should not have to live in fear of those who are called to protect and serve." And by the way, may I remind you again? There is absolutely no proof, no evidence, not one shred of evidence that race had anything to do with the shooting. None. And yet we have pastors, church leaders, all from the left, inciting violence, misrepresenting the truth, or completely ignoring the truth, and fanning the flames of division and even violence. May I repeat something that I have said over and over and over again, but it becomes more and more evident? The liberal left does not care about facts or truth, but emotions and hysteria as long as it progresses their agenda. Who cares about truth? Who cares about facts? We have an ideology to put forth. And it's amazing that intelligent people can be so easily swayed and brainwashed. Is it a tragedy? Yes, yes, yes. But not the way the news media is portraying it.